Okay, well, we have the last few verses of Jude today, and seems kind of strange, but I picked verse 4 as the kind of the key verse, so because first of all, it's about false teachers that have come into the group there, and so I think we got two parts to what we're looking at here. First of all, there's a false doctrine that has been introduced and is confusing people and leading people astray. And then the last six verses, we have a but, or consequently, then these are what we need to do to keep on track. So we got those two points. So first of all, just to give an idea of where we're going, the false teaching is the concept that the concerning the grace of God, which is turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Well, lasciviousness is sort of a lawless way of living, or just living all your own way, regardless of what God says. In fact, grace, sometimes it's taken to mean that grace, you have the favor of God, so you can do anything you want and God forgives you. Well, you have to throw in the idea of presumption, and let's see, Psalm 19:13, I believe it is, speaks about presumptuous sins. Well, a presumptuous sin is where you think of some sin that you would like to commit because of your fallen nature and your old human nature, and you say, well, I'm under the grace of God, so I can commit any sin, and God can forgive me. That's being presumptuous. In other words, we just do what we want to do. And in fact, I thought it must have been, I have either 1972 or 1967, I went to a Billy Graham crusade. Well, it was the priest crusade meetings down in Tacoma. And Tom Landry, he used to be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, and he was a speaker there. And so one thing I remember, he quoted 1 Corinthians 9:27 from the Living Bible, and it says, like an athlete, I punish my body, treating it roughly, training it to do what it should, not what it wants to. So people were being led astray to do whatever you want to do, and the grace of God covers it all. Well, we all sin. We all sin by thought, word, and deed, and we need our sins forgiven, but that needs to be dealt with. But if we just assume that we can just do anything, then that's a presumptuous sin. So we want to keep away from that. So anyway, that's the point one. And then point two is what do we do? And that's the last six verses. So how do we counteract this false doctrine that these people were teaching? So let's just have a quick word of prayer. Lord, we pray that you direct this discussion now so that we can direct our life by your grace and mercy and love, and not try to go our own selfish way to live the life the way we want to, and regardless of what you want us to do. And so we just commit this time to you now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so I'll just go ahead with what was the false teaching in verse 4 of Jude. And so the false teaching was turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, or just lawless, irresponsible living. And in Webster's dictionary, for the word lasciviousness, which is not a too common word, by it's defined as wantonness, lewdness, and lustfulness, and So this word lasciviousness occurs in about 9 different verses, or some form. I mean, the Strong's word is 766. So that occurs 7 times, and lascivious is the most common translation of that word. So in Mark 7:21-23, I'm just reading the scripture here. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and there's some pretty bad things that are listing here. Murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness. There's the key word that we're looking at. An evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and defile the man. So when it comes from within, I mean, even though when we come to Christ, we men being Christ, he's a new creature. We're made a new creature, but we still have the old nature there that is not completely done away with, it seems to me anyway. And so if we are listening to our old nature, often we go off on the wrong track. And these are some of the things that are named here. So anyway, going on with the verses where this word occurs, 2 Corinthians 12:21. And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness. There's the word. And another translation of it in one of my translations, the sensual desire. So, I mean, that could even be like eating too much or, you know, anything that's out of control that we just do to please our flesh. And, okay, so that's in 2 Corinthians. So Galatians 5:19, now the words of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. There's the word again. And that's then 1 Peter 4:3, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. So that's another say the will of the godless people. There was a Jewish nation and everybody else were Gentiles. So anyway, the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, there's the word again, and here again it's translated in one translation I have, sensual pleasure, lust, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. So there's some pretty bad stuff there. So you can see if somebody says, well, I'm under the grace of God, and so I'm going to just make the grace of God to be lasciviousness, why then all these things fall under the category of doing all these evil things. And then expecting, well, you say ahead, well, Lord, I know you've given me grace by your death, so I'm just going to go ahead and do all these things, and I know you'll forgive me. Bad idea. So 2 Peter 2:7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with a filthy conversation, and that that's where, instead of lasciviousness in this case, it says filthy conversation. So conversation there, that's King James, that means the manner of life, the way we're living. So vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And then 2 Peter 2:18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, and that's used in place of lasciviousness. That's translated in that case. Those that were clean escape from them who live in error. And then so the false teaching of verse 4, that's the one verse we're looking at. It's kind of the key verse to set the stage for what we need to get from the last 6 verses. And so the the presumptuous idea, where that's the only place it's referred to in the Bible, is Psalm 19:13, and it's figuratively to be insolent, or that means just defiant of whatever we're told, you know. So we just defy what the Bible teaches, and we expect to commit the sin, and just based on the fact that we're under grace, that we'd be forgiven, which is the wrong way to go. Okay, and then the word grace is defined in Strong's as a divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. So the error that false teachers are projecting is to say that since by God's grace He will forgive my sin, I can just go ahead and do anything and God will forgive me. That would be presumptuous sin and contempt for God's desire for us. Grace is not a license to live in sin and then expect God to forgive our sinful way of living. So to counteract the false teaching of the ungodly men cited in verse 4, Jude starts with verse 20, and that's our text for today, verse 20 through 25, which says, "But you, beloved," and I think when you have a "but" there, you could say consequently or as a result of all this, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and these are some things that we're going to try to sort these out a little bit too, to give some definition to them. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now these are things that we should do. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That's through obedience. We, you know, John 14:21. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept his commandments and abide in his love, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now keep in mind again, it's not by obeying the laws of God or the sayings of Jesus that save us, but as a result of our relationship with Jesus, by grace you are saved through faith, it is the gift of God. So the gift of God from Jesus inspires us to do the things that we should do, like praying and reading the Bible and so forth. So verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Now this seems to be witnessing of God's grace to other people. And so what I've looked at here is some of these verses we've just read, and there's I've been around the Navigators to quite an extent, and so there's an illustration called the wheel, which is the Christ-centered, Spirit-filled life. And so I've kind of correlated some of these items mentioned here with that wheel. And then the Navigators have the topical memory system, which has six different major topics, and the first one is the life in Christ, and then the second one is gospel. So I put together some cards with some of these verses and concepts on, and we'll go through this and kind of explain that as in contrast with trying to feel like we're saved by doing. Following the law or God's idea, or the other idea, which is even just as bad, is to say, well, now I'm under the grace of God and I can do anything I want to and get forgiven. So we're going to try to put this in a positive thing now. First of all, avoid that idea of verse 4, and now let's follow what Jude is saying here is is a contrast to what the false teachers have been giving. So we've got those two points we're trying to make. So let's see. I think we've got enough of these. Let's see. Everybody take one, and these are they're stapled together, so they're not. Might have to separate them if you want to use some of these ideas. There should be enough for everybody to take one of those. And these the things we're going over here, the topical memory system partially, and the wheel are not my ideas. They were one of my good friends who thought these up, named Dawson Trotman. And so it's been around quite a while. So did everybody get one? Okay. So anyway, I've got, three items here. The first one, the gospel, that has six verses and 6 points, this would be in order that, we need to go know the gospel ourselves, and we also need that clearly that we can share with somebody else, because a person who is not a believer, he needs to know the gospel so he knows that he needs to put his faith in Jesus. And then the second card is assurance of salvation. That's another little pack. When a person comes to know Christ, then you can share these verses with him, and these are assurance of salvation, assurance of answered prayer, and so forth. And then the third card is on the wheel, which we will, and that's what I call, this is my little write-up here, the little paragraph on the third card, which says the wheel illustrates the Christ-centered, spirit-filled life. Christ enters our life when we receive Him as the Lord and Savior. We experience His life in Christ, or experience the life in Christ, by intake through the Word and prayer, and reach out to the people in the world through obedience and witness. So anyway, let's look at the wheel just a little bit and kind of put that in its place and how it can work in our life. So first of all, if you look at the physical concept here, a wheel, the outside rolls along on the ground, and then the center of the wheel is where the axle is, and that's where the power is transmitted from the power source to the wheel. So we have it named the outside of the wheel is the life in Christ. So that's how we roll along in the earth, and we're in contact with the earth, okay, with people. And then of course, the source of power is through Christ. That's the axle connected to God's power. That's where we get our power to live the Christian life, not our own strength, but through His power. And then the two vertical spokes. Now, this is kind of a small illustration. I don't know if everybody can read it or not. I might have to use a magnifying glass. But anyway, prayer is our contact with God. We're in contact with God by prayer. And then the bottom vertical spoke is the word of God, the Bible. So the vertical spokes are the contact with God. That's our contact with God. Now the horizontal spokes, witness and obedience, that's how we relate to the world around us. So by obeying the Word of God, that gives us a life that should be attractive to people. Sometimes maybe not attractive. They want to get away from us, but that's their problem. But anyway, that's our relationship with people, through obedience, and that's by reading and studying the Bible, memorizing it, and then witnessing is sharing Christ with others so that they might come to know Him. So on the probably should discuss a little bit on the verses on the gospel, so this would be in the sequence which this would be used. So first of all, we need to know the gospel ourselves. So let's look at each of these. So this is 6 points here: the fact of sin, and this is something. You probably have a sequence of verses to share with people. If you don't want, you can use this. So, point one, the fact of sin, for all of sin comes short of the glory of God. So we all need to know that we're sinners. And then we know the penalty of sin, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then the penalty paid by Christ, because we need a Savior, since we're in trouble, we're sinners, we need to be saved out of our sins. So that is, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. And salvation, a free gift. We need to know, and people we're sharing with need to know that salvation is a gift from God. It's not something we earn by what we do. But if we have the free gift, then that changes our life so that our life is different. Okay, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. Then on the back, must receive. So John 1:12, that's where we take action. And in my case, after going to church all my life, from a baby on up, a sailor friend when I was in the Navy asked me if I was a Christian. I said, well, I tried to be, because I knew the Ten Commandments, and I believed in Jesus, and I believed the Bible. But I thought, well, if you don't do everything in the Bible, you're not a good Christian. You know. And he said, the next question he asked me, well, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? I said, I didn't think anybody could know that. And he said he knew for sure he was going for heaven. I said, how do you know that? And he shared some of these verses with me. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So anyway, the point that I'd missed is that even though I'd gone to church all my life and I believed the things that Jesus told me, I believed in Jesus and I believed the Bible, I had never really faced the fact that I'm a lost sinner, so I needed to make that commitment. So I did that, and that's when I became a Christian when I was 20 years old. And then, so that's when I received Christ. And the assurance, 1 John 5:11-12, but this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. So that shows that the assurance comes from the fact that we believe in Jesus as the one who is really our Savior. Okay, we're going to run out of time here, but anyway, so that would be, you know, the gospel that we need to know ourselves and we need to share with other people. And you've got it right there if you want to use that. And then the one on assurance of, lessons on assurance would be these next five verses. So it's assurance of salvation, and some of these might be repeated, but. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God hath not life. So that's the assurance of salvation. And then the assurance of prayer, John 16:24, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. So we have access to God through prayer. And then the assurance of victory, there is no temptation taking you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So God makes a way to escape from sin, but we don't always take that way. So we still sin, even as Christians, and we need to face that issue and repent of that and confess that to God. So then on the back of that card, we have assurance of forgiveness. So, and this is a very important verse for all of us, no matter how long we've been a Christian. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So whether it's just a sin in our mind, we think the wrong thoughts, or if we said something to somebody, or we've committed some sin, immediately when we see and the Holy Spirit convicts us of that sin, we need to admit that to God. And if it's among other people, we need to admit it to them. One person, or, you know, if I lose my temper and mouth off to somebody and I see it's really out of order, I need to confess that to them, because just to confess to God, that's not complete if it involves somebody else. It involves just a thought. It may be sometimes when we would share our thought with somebody. For example, I remember Bob Boardman, who was shot by a Japanese sniper on Okinawa, and he couldn't just talk with a whisper like that. And so one time, after he was in training with the navigators, and he was saying to Doss, "Doss, pray for me, I had a bad thought." Doss, pray for me, I had a bad thought. So sometimes it's appropriate to share something with somebody that nobody else knows about, which is okay, but you don't need to do that all the time. Okay, probably out of the verses in that assurance, you know, the assurance lessons or the assurance pack, probably one of the most important ones is the one on confessing our sins, you know, confess to God and other people involved. Okay, and then on the last card is the wheel, which we've kind of explained the overall thing on that, but the verses, we'll just go through those quickly. So the first one is the life in Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new person. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Now, that's by faith all things have passed away, but there will be some that don't pass away that quick. I knew a good friend who, before he was become a Christian, he had trouble with alcohol, and so he had the fifth stage of alcoholism. He'd be out drinking, and he'd come home and go to bed, and wake up in the morning, couldn't remember how he got there. And so it took 2 years of somebody being accountable to somebody else till he got over that sin of alcoholism. And that was Rod Sargent. I don't know if people have been. Some day probably remembers Rod Sargent, but he was, in the leadership of the Navigators later on. But he was one where he had a sin that it took quite a while to overcome that. Okay, and then Christ the center, the second point of the wheel. Well, that's the center of the wheel. I said, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." So everything in our Christian life really depends upon the power that comes into our life through Christ being the center. So this is a picture to help you kind of remember all this. And then the third one, the word. "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So that shows us, that reminds us that we live by what the Bible teaches. And it has, you know, if we read the Bible every day, and we can be reminded of what the Bible teaches that we really need to do. And then on prayer, John 16:24, "Hitherto, or to this point, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." That's John 16:24. And then obedience, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." So we show our love to God the Father, and you kind of see this in these last six verses as the solution to the false teachers that have been influencing Jewish people he's writing to. And then the last one verse on the wheel is "that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ." So witnessing is what we have seen and heard. We're not just telling somebody else's story, we're telling our story to people. So anyway, those are some of the concepts, and you might have to I mean, if you want to use this, or, you know, if you pretty well have it down and you might want to give it to somebody else, you might want to take the staple out so you can more easily access all of the ideas here. Oh, and one other thing I'll say right quick is this little drawing up I made of the wheel. Normally it's on a bigger page. When my daughter Becky was in college, I wrote this up this way. It's a summary of the wheel and the little diagram, and sent that on a card to her. That was probably 20 years ago. And then recently I found that little card someplace. I don't know, she must have given it back to me or something. And I mentioned that to her recently, and she said, yes, she remembers my sending that to her. So anyway, I just sent, you know, it was that size. So anyway, that's kind of the history on the little wheel there. So anyway, I guess we better sign off here, so let's have a quick word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for some of these basic ideas on coming to Christ and following him, and not just sinning intentionally, expecting to just live that way and still be under your grace. But we just pray that you'll help us to use these ideas to for our own life and share with others. And we just commit this time, these ideas to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Percy.
Okay.
I was reading an article about the book of Jude, and when the early translators were trying to actually name the book, you know, the name actually is technically Judas. But they thought, man, that just would be way too confusing to use the name Judas as a book in the Bible. So they settled for the foreshortened name Jude. But as Percy pointed out, you know, Jude is another book that tells us this world is not our home, we're just a passing through. And at the end there, we will be exalted because of the work of Jesus Christ. This world is not my home.
The world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid out somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord,
Lord, we thank you for today, and I suppose, Lord, we do feel a little homesick because we know that our home is in heaven with you, and Lord, from time to time we get glimpses of your love and your compassion for us, and Lord, always to remember that you have a purpose for us, and so we do pray, Lord, that you'd help us in our struggles to glorify you and to give you the credit that you so richly deserve as we look forward to your soon return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So with that, barring any other announcements, you are officially dismissed. Go Broncos.
I've been doing 24.